start and end of my talk. The next session in here, this is the parking lot tent, in case you're confused, will be Gobbles, the Wolves Among Us. Right now you're here for selling out for fun and profit. Before I even get started, I'm Acumen MRC. I want to have a little disclaimer here. I'm not coming up here to stir any shit pots. I'm not coming up here to piss anyone off. For any of you that are here to hear me bitch about Security Focus, you can probably leave now because that's not going to happen. This talk was kind of thought up and during before all that happened, and I've got my own opinions on that anyways. I don't necessarily consider them to be selling out. You know, they've always been a business, and they sold their business. You know, that can't really be selling out. So as I said, I'm Helen Bach from NMRC, and as some of you also know, during the day I'm Steve Manzik, moderator of Bone Watch, among a few other things. The whole reason I've had the NMRC handle, basically I used to work for We Don't Hire Hackers type companies like IBM and Ernst & Young, so having the handle is a nice place to hide when I would do my recreational stuff. As far as what I do for NMRC, it's actually pretty fun. Right now I get to wash Nomad's car, mow his lawn, you know, that kind of cool stuff. he says if I drop about 100 pounds, I can be his pool boy next year, so I got a goal to work for, right? Okay, this talk I'm basing on that this is why people hack, okay? I'm not, traditionally, hackers, at least my idea of it, have hacked to gain knowledge, to get into stuff that maybe you shouldn't be into, but no one else can get into. That's always kind of cool. And of course, lately, right, everyone wants to be an internet rock star, right? It's kind of cool to go places and everyone knows who you are just based on your hacking. Here's a post that addresses selling out. This was posted by a guy by the name of Haiku Hacker. Not sure if he was here for the con or not. This was on the full disclosure mailing list. It was directed at a specific person. I won't go into that, but there's a bit of a little flame war going on. Essentially, he's saying that selling out's a bad thing, and all of us bastards that do it are horrible people because we're exploiting the true hackers of the world by taking their research and their tools and making money off it. And we have another quote which illustrates probably the other side of the argument, from someone that's probably fairly well known. And just to get out of the way, I'm a bit biased. I actually do fall into this category of people, because if someone wants to accuse me of it, that's fine. I sell out. I am a security consultant. That's what I do for a living. Oh well, right? What I am going to do today, I'm just going to go through some examples of different so-called sellouts, how they did it, the wrong way to try and sell out, and probably some better ways to sell out and actually still hang on to what little dignity you may have. The whole media whoring thing, there's a talk done by Gweeds at H2K2, where he basically said that Bugtrack is a tool now for people to get famous and get good jobs. I think he even said that Sir Distick works for Microsoft, which was probably one of the best jokes I heard this year anyways. And he was going on about how vendors use FUD and and blah blah blah, which some of the stuff he said, he did have a point, especially the FUD thing and the media whoring thing. We see that all over the place. And that's what I'm going to start going through is, just some specific examples of, actually I think I have three, of an example of someone who you can consider, a hacker slash script kiddie, a security vendor, and then just a generic example. So this is my first case study. Robert Little, Pimshiz. Don't know if you're here, don't rush the stage or anything. You can talk to me later if you got a problem. So, how do you sell out in this case? You pick something that everyone is worried about, say, Napster being shut down by RIA. Start defacing a few websites in support of Napster, but be sure to leave your email address behind so then the media can contact you and interview the hell out of you. After you get caught, and everyone knows who you are, launch a security company. Business might be a little slow, so start again. Pick a new issue, terrorism or something like that, and start nailing websites again, hoping to generate business. Probably not the smartest way to do things. My next case study is just basically security vendors in general. And this one, I am a bit biased. I did at one point in my career work for Bindview Razor, so I'm not necessarily saying this is a bad thing. There are some areas where security vendors do definitely go wrong, though. So the basic premise behind, you know, we've got our X-Force, we've got our Razor, we've got, I don't know, probably another dozen or so vendor research groups. You know, they'll go on, they'll hire as many big name, you know, black hat, white hats, you know, if you're smart, you know, that kind of stuff. They'll go and hire as many of those guys as they can. Then they'll just start pumping out as many advisories as they can. And of course, in those advisories, you've got all the web links and, you know, all that stuff for the products. That's not necessarily a bad thing, really. Where they seem to go wrong is when they start putting press releases and PR in front of actual research and working with vendors. We've seen cases of that. You know, we can use X-Force's Apache thing. You know, I know there's two sides to that argument as well, but the bottom line is they didn't work with Apache. You know, they rushed an advisory out. Some say they did it for the marketing. I would tend to agree with that.
I'm going a little faster.
So I'm calling this one a better way to sell out. I wouldn't say it's a better way, but I figure this is probably the way, if you are going to sell out, you should do it, because there's a lot of good reasons to sell out. You know, a job is one of them. You know, I'd definitely rather be working in security than flipping burgers for, you know, $8 an hour. So probably the good way to do it, you know, just do what you already do. Go out, do your advisories, publish white papers. You know, don't get caught doing anything wrong. You know, don't get your criminal record. You know, we can all remember the case a while back. I can't remember the guy's name, but he was trying to get a job with one of the new boutique firms, and they turned him down when they found he had a record. And so, of course, he went to the press bitching about that. But really, you know, what do you expect, dude? You know, they do a background check. You've got a criminal record. None of their clients, who also will ask for background checks, are going to want to touch you. You know, that's just kind of common sense there. You know, and sure, sell out, take your job, you know, make your money, but continue to do what you're doing and continue to, you know, support the community and release your tools and release your exploits. I think that's where the real difference between selling out and not selling out is, you know, you'll see guys who I would call true sellouts go and try to be something they're not, right? They'll all of a sudden go from being, you know, hacker to, what are you talking about? I don't know what hacking is, you know, and keeping all of their tools and exploits and research to themselves. You know, sure, you know, you can call those guys sellouts. You know, the guys that continue to support the community and continue to, you know, dump their exploits in and things like that, I don't consider them sellouts at all. They're just using something they're good at to make money. And really, what's wrong with that? The real reason, I think, anyways, you know, this is mostly my opinion and probably a few other people's opinion, but I think the real reason that we see guys like, you know, me and, you know, you can lump the Loft guys or all kinds of guys like that into this category being accused of being sellouts is we've got groups, you know, like Gweed's Talk, right, and the ELA guys. I don't think the anti-security guys really belong on this slide. They're more anti-full disclosure, you know, because they think they're supplying script kiddie munitions than they are anti-sellout. But, you know, you've got a lot of guys that don't want guys like us who actually know how to research and actually know how to hack. They don't want us to go out and secure networks. They don't want us to go out and release our research. How are their zero day is going to be effective when they're going up against some guy that is just as good, if not better, than they are? Media. I do want to address the media a little bit because they seem to feed into this whole thing. Hi, Thomas. This is a quote that I took off of a email that I and a few others received. I'm not attributing it to anybody because it was a private email. But I think this is probably valid for all media organizations at one time or another. I think we could probably accuse almost everybody in the media of, at one time or the other, saying or doing something that they that was wrong, that they didn't research. So I do have a few pointers or guidelines for the media to consider when they're reporting on stories.
You got a pen, Tom?
The bottom line is, right, is that the media seems to grab what's sexy, what's cool, and they don't like to research it, right? Like, they'll just go, oh, man, this guy just said that, you know, Simple Nomad's a Fed. Quick, get that on the front page, you know, of whatever website. You know, and really, you need to, you know, research that kind of stuff. Sorry, I didn't mean to mention Simple Nomad. He is not a Fed. You know, essentially, you know, this, I'm not going to sit here and read slides to you guys, but essentially this is what the media can do or, you know, should be doing, you know, and the big thing is don't spread FUD. You know, check your sources, reveal your sources. You know, there's this thing called anonymous source that, you know, I've been an anonymous source many times that I've had to be, and I know a lot of people probably have, and many media guys are pretty good at protecting their sources and still proving a point or proving their story. The last one is probably my biggest pet peeve. Just because somebody uses a computer to commit a crime doesn't mean they were a hacker. You know, yet the media, oh my God, you know, there's a Palm Pilot in this guy's pocket when he robbed the bank. He must be a hacker. You know, it's just getting out of hand. I wanted to address hacktivism a little too, and I call it the lone gunman myth. And the reason I say that isn't because I'm against hacktivism. I'm actually all for it. It's just the real problem is we're not seeing it yet. You know, we're not seeing any real hacktivism yet, at least in the media. You know, all we're seeing in the media is website defacements and, you know, denial of service attacks and, you know, silly stuff that no one really cares about. You know, I would probably say that most of the web defacements probably aren't really read by anybody. And if they are, I don't think they're getting the point across. I think it would be real cool to, you know, see things like, you know, there have been a few talks this, you know, this weekend about hacktivism and some of the things you can do, helping to build tools, helping to secure not-for-profit boxes. You know, why couldn't someone have hacked into Enron a year ago and exposed what they were doing? I think a lot of us, or a lot of people, would have saved a lot of money. Yeah, and that slide's basically what I just said anyways. You know, like, we're all sitting around arguing, you know, with the ELA guys or GUIDs or whoever, when really, most of those guys actually, you know their stuff and are pretty good. So instead of sitting here, you know, fighting amongst ourselves, let's start doing something, you know, like building the cool tools or helping the not-for-profits and stuff like that. I'm going through this pretty quick. Okay, we're gonna go to something that kind of doesn't fit in here at all. You guys wanna? You guys all coming up here or what? Yeah, that's you guys.
Hello. That's why you're here. What? Oh, right. Okay, so we have to say something. Oh, crap. I hate this.
And of course, I went through a presentation way too fast, so we're actually already getting close to the end. I brought all these guys up because during Black Hat and yesterday during DEF CON, we did announce something new. And so I thought I'd, you know, bring these guys up to talk about it a little bit as well. Doesn't really fit with the whole selling out thing. But essentially what we announced at Black Hat was the Internetwork Security Information Services Initiative. And what that is it's going to be an open source, volunteer-supported, centralized information source. You know, the data is going to be free, not freel. Oops. That's probably supposed to be an exclamation mark, I'll bet. You know, we announced a new discussion list called Voluntiscuss. As far as volunteers involved with ISIS, we have the guys from PacketStorm, who you see a lot of them up here, and the Open Source Vulnerability Database Project, which Charles is going to say a couple words about.
Hi everyone, I'm Charles, I'm from Sense Post. I was asked just to say a few words about the Open Source Vulnerability Database Project. Basically what happened is the guys from Digital Defense and some of the guys from SensePost, we've been building databases of known vulnerabilities essentially based on the Nessus signature IDs over the last few years. And Digital Defense and SensePost have come together to launch a project together with these guys to make that database publicly available. So we'll be moving it off our infrastructure into public domain. It'll be run under the charter of the rest of the project, so it's going to be completely open source, completely free. It will be moderated, so it's not a discussion list. The idea is to have a high quality database of really accurate, up-to-date information. And what we'll be doing is we'll be making it available in such a way that you can do complete, probably CVS dumps of the database. So anybody who wants access to it, you'll be able to connect to the service and pull the whole thing down. So that's pretty much it. Visit the website. Maybe just a quick note on where we are. The website is up. We're busy forming the coalition and establishing the charter and stuff like that. We're also busy finalizing the technical details of the database structure, exactly how we're going to mirror it, how we're going to push the data down. And as soon as we do that, we'll go live with the data, and we expect to have a database of, in the region, I think, of about 1,000 or so entries when we start. So there's going to be a lot of good stuff there, and the rest of it will really depend on you guys. So drop in, visit the site, and support us in what we're doing.
So I just realized I blew through my entire talk in about 20 minutes, so I'll probably win an award for the worst talk at DEF CON, but that's cool. they do have Gobbles coming up next to do his Wolves Among Us talk. My talk's not really geared too much for questions, probably geared more for flames.
Yeah.
And actually, that's one thing that these guys missed to cover. The ISIS project is looking for volunteers, especially if you have a vulnerability database laying around somewhere that you don't want or you'd like to release to everybody. SensePost and Digital Defense already donated a couple. I think there's something like over 1,000 records. Is that right, guys, in there? But hey, the more help, the better.
I really didn't want to have to go up here and talk. We at Packet Storm, all the Packet Storm guys, raise your hands and wave at the crowd. Say hi. That's Christian and Alan, and I'm Emerson. At the moment, what we're trying to do is we have a whole bunch of files which don't have descriptions. There are, in fact, a few, more than just a few files. There are a few thousand files that don't have descriptions, so the old stuff. And we need some help classifying it all. So at some point in the near future, we'll be sticking something on the site, and we need your help, basically. If you can read, hands up here, who can read C? Stick your hands in the air. Okay, give yourselves a pat on the back. You've got yourself a job. We'll be doing that. And of course, we'll be busy we'll also be helping support the open source vulnerability database guys and all the other bits and pieces that go along with this. And of course, all you people out there who are, busy developing your tools and the likes, send us your stuff. We want stuff. Friends, Romans, citizens, send us your wares. So, bring it on. That's basically it. Yeah, back to Steve.
So essentially ISIS is going to be, volunteer ran, it's going to be free. I think the key point behind this is that the data will remain free. It's going to be a not-for-profit, and you'll be able to dump all the data any way you want. Never-for-profit. Thanks, Emerson. So like I said, I'd probably get the award for the shittiest talk at DEF CON because I blew through that real quick. I'm not going to take questions because I know you guys are probably going to, or some of you are probably going to flame me. So if you do want to come up and talk to me, feel free, come on up here and talk to me at the end of the talk. Pardon me? Okay. Someone want this? Come get it. It's free. Okay, I'll take a question here, and then you can take some free hardware. I'm glad I took that one. Essentially, he was asking, say you're an Enron employee, you're making six figures. How do you fight not selling out, to expose that there's something bad going on? I think that's a tough one, right? And I think everyone will make their own personal decision on that. And one of the questions to ask yourself is, what do you do? You know, you're a sysadmin or a security guy of a corporation, and you know they're doing something wrong. Do you protect that data? Do you not protect it? Or do you expose it? You know, I think that's a personal question everyone has to ask them. Obviously, I'd encourage you to expose them. I know in the U.S., I'm a Canadian, so I'm not completely familiar with a lot of the U.S. laws, but I know some of the states have, like, whistleblower laws and, you know, and things like that you can protect yourself. Or do it anonymously. You know, find a guy in the press that you trust and feed him all the information anonymously, hoping that he'll protect your identity.
That's a pretty high bar. It is an HP Hub Plus. Yeah. I'm too young to know what those connectors are in the back, so.
So that's, like I said, next up we've got Gobbles talking about the Wolves Among Us. If anyone does have any questions or comments or, you know, wants to come punch me in the nose, feel free, come on up.